Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $20 on the Steel MS-162 or MS-170 chainsaw. Real Steel. Offer valid through June 30th, 2024. See participating retailer for details. Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
We have breaking news in the sports world, and this is big. Jim Harbaugh, coach of 9-0, number 3 in the nation, Michigan, suspended tentatively for the next 3 games. That is the rest of the regular season. Now, why is this such a huge deal? Because you have to remember, Michigan is currently 9-0. They're facing 8-1 Penn State this weekend, big noon kickoff. The whole world is watching. Michigan is currently on a fast track once again to the college football playoffs. However, with Harbaugh being suspended, now up in the air is how well they will be coached, because he is not allowed to coach from the sideline. Now think about this. If Michigan beats Penn State, they cruise, they play Ohio State, win that game, and then they are obviously likely in the college football playoffs. But if Michigan loses to Penn State, Michigan would have one loss. Penn State would have one loss, and Ohio State would still be undefeated. This is huge for the college football world, huge for the state of Michigan. Now, what is going on? Connor Stallions, he was an associate of Michigan. He was an analyst on that squad from 2022 until last week when he resigned. He was seen stealing signals on behalf of Michigan. Now, if you ask Connor Stallions, he said that Harbaugh did not send him to do it. However, everything starts at the top. So Harbaugh is the man who is being punished, although if you ask the Big Ten representatives, they say this is not a punishment of Jim Harbaugh. This is a punishment of Michigan. But when you are the head coach of Michigan, a punishment of Michigan is a punishment of you. So to conclude the breaking news, Harbaugh suspended for the rest of the regular season. Two of Michigan's next games, Ohio State, Penn State. You lose to Penn State, you are in a world of trouble. Last year, they made the college football playoffs. Harbaugh has beat Ohio State 2 years running after losing to Ohio State for consecutive years when he first showed up in Michigan. No story in college football can get bigger than the story I just told you about. I will keep you up to date on all of the breaking news, but this is huge for college. Now, what is huge for the NFL as we transition is what you witnessed last night. Justin Fields, Chicago Bears. Well, Justin Fields was not present. That's why it's such a big story, because the Bears have somehow found ways to win without him. Let me break this down for you. See, Justin Fields, he only won 2 of his last 18 games as a starter. 2 of his last 18 games. Meanwhile, he's dealing with a thumb injury. They put him on the bench to rehab to get better. Now you got a guy last name Bajan out of D2 schools, and the Bears have won 2 of their last 4 games. So to do the simple math, to conclude all of this conversation, Justin Fields, first round pick out of Ohio State, has won 2 of his last 18. But now without him, the Chicago Bears have seemingly gotten better. And they currently own the Panthers' first-round pick, and the Panthers only got 1 win. It might be time to move off of Justin Fields. Heading to the desk, a whole lot of information that has been discussed and that will be discussed. Shady McCoy, what's up with you, bro?
You like this? I like this, man.
I like it a lot. I like it a lot. That's Shady McCoy. On the far end, that's Super Bowl champ James Jones. Shady has a Super Bowl of his own right. To the right, that is the brilliant one and only Dr. Joy Taylor. Let's get into some sports talk, please, because I said a lot and I'm tired of listening to myself. Shady, the Bears. Justin Fields, they put a lot into him. They invested a lot into him. Yeah. They chose him instead of using the number 1 overall pick to draft a quarterback. They could have drafted C.J. Stroud. They said, no, we like Justin Fields, but he's only won 2 of his last 18 starts. Now the backup quarterback, Bajan, he's already won 2 of his last 4 starts. Have the Bears seen enough from anybody to move on from Justin Fields?
They've been seen enough. Mm-hmm. It's been over. I don't know what they're waiting for. They had a chance to get the number 1 pick last year, and what did they do with it? They said, no, we're going to pass on that. We're going to keep Justin Fields. But then again, to his credit, they gave him another number 1 receiver, and DJ Moore, who's really, really good. Yep. Some offensive lineman, right? So I get what they were trying to do. Now that you've seen it for your own eyes, I guess they didn't see it before, but now you see it now. The kid is 6-25. Mm-hmm. As a starter, that's what he is.
Yeah.
What are we waiting for? How much do you need to see? See, one thing about rookies, I never judge them, because it's a whole new environment, right? You go from college to the NFL, the best of the best, the elite of the elite. And it takes time. Got the learning curves. You got the physical part of it. You have all these different things. You're an adult now. You're paying your own bills. You got to pay taxes. All these things matter. So now, first year to your second year, you should see some improvement. The biggest jump in football is from year one to year two.
Yeah.
Right?
I agree.
From year two to year three, we should even see even more of a jump.
Time to go.
And we haven't seen it.
Yeah.
I don't know the kid. He must be a good kid, though. Must be a great personality because everybody's always trying to defend him and make an excuse up for him why he's not playing well, why he's not winning games. I'll just say this. Bears, you had the same thing last year with the first round or the first pick of the draft. Don't mess it up again. Mm. It's a kid named Caleb Williams. Yeah, he might cry sometimes, but boy, he can play. And boy, he can win. A lot of talent. Go out there and get him. Do not make the same mistake again. Please.
James, you think the Bears have seen enough?
No.
Whoa.
They need to see more?
they need to see more. No, to be honest with you, though, all jokes aside, and I know me and
Shane, I ain't joking.
Go back and forth on Justin Fields, but I think this is a really tough decision for the Chicago Bears. I do. Because when you look at Justin Fields' last three games, he got 716 passing yards, 9 touchdowns, 2 picks before he hurt his thumb. Right? So that's improvement, if you ask me, right? They came out of a conversation saying, I just need to play football, open this playbook up. Since they done that, Justin Fields has been playing really good football. With all that being said, it's been some bust, right? Right? So everybody think it's just like, boom, slam dunk, like these first rounders. Like, I'm looking at some of these first rounders. Josh Rosen, number 10. Zach Wilson. What's Zach Wilson's record? 500. He winning some games because of him. You know, so a lot of these times that we look at these wins, I know it's a quarterback stat, but these quarterbacks, Kenny Pickett, it's because of him? No, but he winning? So a lot of these stats when you're talking about winning and all that, you know, sometimes it's a team game. No, all the time it's a team game.
Always, you're right.
And you got to find ways to win. Sometimes offense may not be good. Defense got to hold them up. But with all that being said, I think these last three games to what we see from Justin Fields before he got hurt, he was playing at a very, very high level. And I think that's something that can catch this attention from this
coaching staff to say,
we'll pass again on that first round.
Just a quick question before the queen goes. Uh-huh. Right? Before the queen goes, did we all watch Justin Fields lose these games? Had a game won.
He done lost a couple of them for us.
I've seen that happen.
He done lost a couple of them for us.
I'm just saying, so tell the people that, too.
We've seen a lot of quarterbacks.
A lot of my American
people. Zach Wilson lost some, too, and they 500 is what I'm saying.
Dory, this is not a Zach Wilson conversation.
Thank you.
It is a conversation about seeing enough of Justin Fields. Well, seeing enough of the Bears with Justin Fields' absence. You think the Bears have seen enough to move on?
Yes. He's in year three. And, look, it's unfortunate that he's hurt, but you put up the stat of what his record is as a starter. Year one to year two, you should see a significant step up.
Come on.
Year two to year three, we should be sure. 3 years in the NFL is a significant amount of time. I think that's an appropriate amount of time for a coach to turn things around. I think it's an appropriate amount of time to see and without question know you're the guy. And if you have the number one overall pick and Caleb Williams is coming out in the draft, and even if you don't end up getting Caleb Williams because you mess around and win a couple more games, there's a lot of quarterbacks in this draft.
Drake May's still out there.
So it's really difficult for me to make a case that you should stick with Justin Fields past this. Now, that doesn't mean that Justin Fields won't go on to play somewhere else.
Yeah, of course.
I think he'd be a very serviceable backup. We know he has talent. He can run.
He can run fast.
So he can run fast. He's ran for a lot of yards. And maybe this isn't just the right place for him. But you already made the move to stick with him when you had the number one overall pick this year. You put faith in him. And I like that they did that. Okay, give him one more year. But there's nothing that he's done to secure this franchise position starting for the Chicago Bears. Nothing that we've seen on the field has removed all doubt that this is the guy moving forward. Is there any doubt that C.J. Stroud is the right choice for the Houston Texans?
No, not right now. You know he is.
Is it doubt that Bryce Young is for the Panthers?
A little bit of something.
No, we don't. We don't know. But he's a rookie, though. Justin Fields is in year three. He's a rookie. Justin Fields is in year three.
I'm with you.
I want to keep making arguments for him. And I don't even really care about these games that they've won. Like, great. Winning games is hard to do. You beat the Panthers. You beat the Raiders, who fired their coach midseason. Mm-hmm. So, let's not start throwing parades here for the change. Like, I'm not getting crazy with that part of it. But when you're talking about moving into next season, nothing has happened so far with Justin Fields' career in Chicago has secured his space.
So that's why I am not at all saying move on for Tyson Bagent.
No.
I am not saying that. What I am saying, though, is in Justin Fields' absence, the Bears have won 2 games. In Justin Fields' presence over the last 18 games, the Bears had won 2 games. Mm. So I'm not saying it's a Tyson Bagent thing by any means. Mm. I'm simply saying most often people fear moving on from any relationship because of the unknown. Mm-hmm. Man, what will life be like without this person? Mm. But once you've realized what life is like without this person, and for the Bears, you've won 2 of your last 4, why not move on? James, there's only one final thought I have on this conversation is we're also not talking enough about the fact that Justin Fields now be hurt. Last year, I believe it was cracked ribs or chest rib fracture. This year, thumb injury. He's only in year 3.
Yeah.
He's now missed 4 games this year because of injury. He missed 2 games, if I'm not mistaken, last year because of injury. And his rookie year, he didn't start the whole season. I believe Andy Dalton, Andy, please off camera, correct me if I'm wrong. I believe Andy Dalton started Justin Fields' rookie year, so he didn't even have the opportunity to play the whole year to miss the whole year's worth of games. Yeah. So as I'm thinking about it, he's also an injury-prone quarterback that currently is not that good. I do believe he has all the talent to be very good in the National Football League. But, James, that's my final thought is he's also injury-prone as it pertains to the last 2 years.
And like I say, I mean, it sounds easy. It does sound easy. You win 2 games out of your last 18, it sounds easy. This dude ain't the quarterback for us for the future. But Justin Fields has shown that he can be a really good quarterback in this league. I just talked about his last 3 games. He was playing at a very high level. I'm just saying he's shown you that he can be a really good quarterback in this league. So, yes, I know you're looking at the number one pick with Carolina's pick, or you're up there, you know, to be able to have a high draft pick, but it's also a lot of busts that come out of the draft, too, at the quarterback spot, too. So,
yeah, he's one of them.
You know, and there's 15 other ones on here, too.
But real quick, because I'm going to go to the Niners, so I just want to ask, like, out of all them, what, 31 teams or 31 games he's played, you only talk about his last 3? What about all the other ones that he looked awful, though? What about them games, though?
I mean,
James,
a lot of quarterbacks look awful.
But just because other quarterbacks don't look good and just because he might have shown a little glimpse of getting better, they're not looking to get better. They're looking for their franchise guy. And they did give him 3 years.
Well,
like, we're not talking about moving off of him after a rookie. 3 years in the NFL, like, that's
a long time.
That's grace. That's
I was
that's
all pro my 3rd year, brother.
Yeah. That's a lot.
But first off, the Bears is rebuilding. They are in a rebuild situation. Right? So it's not like the Bears just got this dominant roster and this quarterback is hitting the building and they finna win and get to the playoffs.
Hold on. The Bears are rebuilding, in my mind, because their quarterback has not been who they thought he would be. Like, that's why the Bears are rebuilding.
But look at
Justin Fields was who. But remember, if Justin Fields was who they thought he would be, I believe Roquan Smith would likely still be there because they'd probably be saying, let's win now. After realizing, wait, you know what? Justin Fields is not who we think he's going to be. Let's rebuild. Yeah. That is why I think they're rebuilding.
So Justin Fields is not who we think he's going to be, so let's trade away all of our good players
and let's
keep
try
Justin
to,
Fields?
And let's try to reload. Because think about it. Now
they did
sudden,
help him out, though.
They did. Now you got to go trade for Chase Claypool. Mm. Now you got to go trade for DJ Moore. Like, now you have to do all of these things because, in my mind, because the quarterback was not who he was supposed to be. The Bears were not that bad. Remember, the Bears made it to the playoffs, had a 12-4 season with Mitch Trubisky, I believe it was 2018. The Bears, even under Matt Nagy, were vying for playoff spots. You know better than I. You watch the Packers. You know that division in the NFC North very well. So the Bears were not this bad before Justin Fields.
What is the product on the field this year?
It's been bad, of course.
A very bad football team, a very bad roster. Like, this right now, they are in a rebuild situation. Whatever quarterback comes through that building, they in a rebuild situation.
But you have a number one wide receiver, though.
I also don't think it's a bad
thing. You got him with Justin Fields or with Caleb Williams or with whoever you draft. Yeah.
I don't think that the Bears are without fault here at all. I'm with you. Like, it's not like this is a roster that we would put at the top of the league. They do have some pieces. They did bring in receivers. But at some point, you have to also be responsible. You are on the field. You have the ball in your hands more than anyone else. You're the quarterback, and you did have 3 years.
But
after a rookie season, and also it's not helping that you have guys like Jalen Hurts, who didn't necessarily look good in their first year, and then looked a little bit better in their second year.
Come on, talk
and then
about it.
We're in a Super Bowl.
Josh Allen's another one.
Like, yes, like you have to show some significant development. Even if the rest of the roster is not holding up their end of the bargain, we should be able to use our eyeballs and see, wow, like if he just gets this, or if he just has an offensive line, or if he just gets a running game, they're out of here. No one feels that way about this roster, but nobody feels that Justin Fields is making anyone else better.
Hold on, Shady.
Okay.
The only reason is because you said something, and I didn't always agree with it, but the more you started to say it, I thought about it.
You shouldn't start with agreeing with it.
People were like, man, Justin Fields needs help. And Shady would always retort, the receivers need help, saying the receivers need help from the quarterback. I don't want to condemn the roster because of Justin Fields. Because when I think about the Bears wide receivers, I think the Bears wide receiving core is good. When I think about even the Bears running backs, whether it's Deontay Foreman, whether it's, I believe, Roschon Johnson, the Bears running back room is solid. When I think about the Bears, they are trying offensive line. They use a first-round pick at tackle, I think number 11 pick out of Tennessee.
They're trying.
Defensively, you got Jalen Johnson. Eddie Jackson, when healthy, is back there at safety. You got T.J. Edwards. You have Tremaine Edmonds. I can't even say the roster is bad. And I don't like condemning the entire roster because the record is bad. Because now that Justin Fields has not been playing, the record is at 500. Albeit, Joy makes a great point. Bad teams. But Justin Fields has played bad teams, too.
And that's, man, everything I want to say, he just stole. Like, he's a thief. But anyway, I will say this.
Yeah.
I look at a guy like DJ Moore. I watched him play with the Carolina Panthers. Solid years, right?
Yeah.
Even last year. He ain't a real good quarterback, but he made the best of it because he's a good wide receiver. Why? He can't do the same thing in Chicago.
But he have it. He got good numbers.
I mean, does he?
He does.
They could be better. They could be better.
Anybody's could be better.
They could be
but
better.
He has good
I think
numbers,
the type
though.
Of player he is, the quarterback he has, he can't really get off the way he wants to. That's the truth of it.
But also, this draft class, nobody in this draft class other than Trevor Lawrence has really had any success. So it's not like you can really point and say, okay, they made a mistake or you know, they should have gone and kept, like, they would have taken Bryce Young. They weren't going to take back-to-back Ohio State quarterbacks either, so they wouldn't have gone with C.J. Stroud. So there's a lot of things that you can point to here, but at the end of the day, 3 years is a significant amount of time in the NFL. You had a genuine opportunity. No, the Bears are not perfect. Believe me, I'm the first one to say it. Mm-hmm. That's not a place where quarterbacks generally have success, but they have tried, and it's just what it is.
Also, football, just talk, right?
Yeah.
So, put yourself in his shoes. When I was a rookie, I was so average. I was happy to be there. Like, oh, man. I was happy to be there.
You learn.
I'm happy to start.
You learn.
My second year, like, all right, I'm ready to play. I start getting better and better and better. You see it on tape.
Going down.
By the third year, I'm like, yo, I'm here.
Yeah.
When we watch Justin Fields, we don't see none of that. I see maybe a little bit better. I'm lying. I don't say it all. He runs really good. But you should put yourself in that same shoes. Like, why haven't we seen any jumps? I don't see any jumps.
See, that's why it's difficult for me because before he got hurt, I was seeing
jumps. The last three games?
The last three I was. He was playing very, very well.
He was playing better.
What about games before that?
I can't argue his record.
Wait, hold on. Do we not see, this is the problem I hate when people start talking about players, right? Are we just not going to count the other ones he played bad?
Well,
when you're a young player, it's not that easy of a decision.
You don't count it, but you should be showing improvement. The problem is, at this point, we should know, especially if you have an opportunity to draft another guy. There should be no, at this point, it should be, okay, he can still get better, but we know this is our guy.
Right.
And that's what we don't have.
I see that.
Well, there is nothing more dramatic in the world of sports or the NFL than a players-only meeting.
Mm.
When you start calling players-only meetings, there is chaos in the building. There is a players-only meeting called in Buffalo, and we just found out yesterday we have to discuss it. Oh, this is going to be good. Bills are in crisis mode. That's next on Speak. Don't forget, check us out every day. Fox Sports Channel.
Can we do like a Speak Me? Can I call that?
No.
Do it every day.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
We get to second and short, moving to the NFL. I just told y'all before the break, nothing more dramatic in sports than a players-only meeting. That is when the players say to themselves, hey, we need to talk.
Mm.
They kick all the coaches out the room. They call one another into the room. Mm. They huddle up, and they chop it up.
Ooh.
Well, after losing three out of their last five games, running back Latavius Murray called a players-only meeting.
Right, baby.
He said, hey, we need to talk. Kicked all the coaches out the room. It was an offense-only, players-only meeting. Now, look, I've been a part of several players-only meetings. Yeah. They usually change nothing, but what they mean is everything. Yeah. They mean there is chaos occurring in the building, on either the offensive side of the ball, the defensive side of the ball, or both sides of the ball. I was on the New York Giants on practice squad in 2013, a Giants team that had won the Super Bowl 2 years prior. Antrell Roll was there. Mm. Justin Tuck was there. Called a players-only meeting because we were sorry. Bad, bad. Got the whole defense together. Hey, fellas, we got to get this straight now.
Mm-hmm.
We continued to lose. Thankfully, the Eagles signed me to the active roster, and I left a couple weeks later. With that being said, players-only meetings are never a good thing. 2-5, you know the Bills. You know these players. You're an all-pro running back for the Bills in that organization, in that locker room, with those coaches. Now, I have an issue with who called the meeting. I'll get to that later. But for now, big deal or no deal?
That's a big deal what you just said.
You should have went with that.
I want to hear that. You got a big deal because the running back, the backup running back?
Latavius Murray for context.
He's the backup running back.
Backup running back, 34-year-old, oldest running back in the league.
Why you got a problem with that?
Here's why I got a problem with it. Everybody has to know who they are on the team. Josh Allen has been with the Bills his entire career, 2017,
correct.
I think.
Yeah. Cool.
Stephon Diggs has been with the Bills, I believe, since 2019. Mm-hmm. Latavius Murray got to the Bills yesterday. Literally, he got to the Bills 6 months ago.
Yeah. Okay.
So, who are you? You don't even know this team. Ooh. You don't know this roster.
Dudes. No.
Diggs and 20. I just am saying, how are you going to call it? Let Josh Allen do that.
Right, first of all.
Let Diggs do that.
Because they're not doing it. That's what I got to do.
I'm totally against what you're talking about.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, like, I mean that.
Uh-oh.
Because for you to say, who are you?
It's like this team.
We a team, though, first of all.
Sure.
And he spent, 12 years in the league? Something like that?
A lot, yeah. Oldest running back in the league.
He got his years, and he's a true vet.
No doubt about that.
Okay, let me take it back.
Good.
When GMs bring in certain players, they bring them in for roles,
sure.
Right? Mm-hmm. So a guy like Murray, who's not going to get a lot of carries, but he plays enough.
Plays a role.
They bring him for a role as a vet, as a leader, as a voice. So it don't have to be Josh. I don't have to be none of them guys. It's a guy that's respecting the league, that's been around for a lot of years, that knows ball.
Sure.
He's like, yo, let's get this thing together. I love when a player does that. It makes everybody aware. I don't care who it is. As long as it's somebody that's respected, you don't know how he's respected in that locker room. You're just talking on how you feel, but you don't know how he's respected
of course,
in the locker room.
But I know locker rooms enough. Obviously, you played longer than I. I will not try to talk over you. But I know locker rooms enough to know, Shady, when you went to the Chiefs, I would be hard-pressed, based on everything I know about you and what you've told me about your tenure with the Chiefs. I think you went to the Chiefs in year 10 or year 9 of the National Football League. I don't think LeSean McCoy, with Patrick Mahomes on that roster, with Travis Kelce on that roster, with Tyreek Hill on that roster, I personally don't see you calling a players-only meeting because, you know, I just got here.
Well, first of all, LeSean, you said LeSean McCoy walked in the building. I am who I am. I mean, I come up with experience. I come up with stats.
You did.
I come
up
with a name. So I give you a better situation, right? So the Bucks. I wasn't running the ball like that. But my voice was, when I would speak, people would listen. When our running back meetings and all that, I was running them meetings. When we had the offensive group talks, Tom Brady would call on me to be responsible for the running backs. Mm-hmm. Not Leonard Fournette, not the other guys, when they were actually doing the real work.
Yeah.
So that's just your opinion. I can't say you're wrong.
Yeah.
But I'm saying when you have a brotherhood, you have respect, and everything is like, even on TV, there's certain people you don't respect more because of the work they put in.
Mm-hmm.
Dude could be a hot flash. He's real good, but he ain't got no time invested. It's like, okay, cool. But I'm not going to get into that. That's a whole other conversation.
Sure.
I totally disagree, by the way. I want to go to the players meeting, right? So when I was with the Bucks, now Tom Brady is different. And we were before the bye week. We were up and down that season, going to the bye week, and we lost before the bye. And then now the coach does a little breakdown, whatever. And then we go home for the week or whatever it may be. So somehow it was a meeting early, like at 7 a.m. So everybody's dragging to get to the meeting. Right? I'm like, who called this freaking meeting? Like, you know what I mean? And Tom said, I did. We like, oh. But to say all that, to say this, it was a respect thing because a coach can't save this team, right? The trainers can't save this team. We can. Everybody needs to hold each other accountable. If you miss that tackle and I don't say nothing to you, I'm letting you down. You know you need to make that tackle. The running back, you need to make that block so I can throw this ball. When you take the coaches out of it, the equation, you make it all about the players, that's when it's really dialed in. So I love when I seen that at all, players meeting.
That's good. Come on, Joy.
It's something. Mm-hmm. Like, to your point earlier, they could continue to be inconsistent for the rest of the year and it means nothing. Or this could be the thing that turns it around and gets them into a whole other space. We won't know until we know. But it's definitely something. You're not having these meetings because everyone in the building is comfortable.
Right.
And everyone's not attending if they're comfortable. Mm-hmm. So to your point about who called it, clearly, whoever called it, everyone was like, yeah, yeah, good idea. Mm-hmm. Let's do that. Let's attend. Let's talk about this and let's get into it because we're in a space where we're being very inconsistent. You just lost a really, really big game. And you look, it's win, loss, win, loss. That's not going to work. And it's not going to be reflective in the postseason. You need to be consistent and in this stretch of the season, be playing your best football. So it's definitely something. I mean, they know that there's questions about their consistency. They know Josh Allen Josh Allen knows there's some questions about their consistency and his consistency of play. So I think a reset, I think a refocus at players-only meeting is probably exactly what they needed.
Yeah.
Now, will it have any effect? Is it something more than just morale? Again, we won't know until the end of the season, but it's not particularly surprising.
Yeah, it's a couple things that happens with these team meetings, right? Number one, when you know it is a team meeting, that means something ain't right. Let's get that out the way. The point blank period, something ain't right. All right? Number two, I have been in team meetings to where a star has called a team meeting. And I have been in meetings to where a backup has called a team meetings. And you know what team meeting was much better? When the backup called the meeting. And the reason why I say that is because that backup stood up there and he says, I hear you, Shady, you the star running back. Why are you complaining about the plays, bro? It ain't the plays. We've been running the same plays for the last 2 years. Mm. They've been working, right? Be hard for Josh Allen to stand up there and call Diggs out like that. We're probably out any, you know, hey, get back at him or sensitivity and all that, right? You know what, JJ? Run your route. You're talking about the plays and all that. Run your route to win. We complaining about too much. And we got so much more out of the meeting. All the sensitivity, you know, was put to the side, put to the shelf, because you had this backup like, dude, I'm hearing everything on the sideline, right? I've been listening to these plays for the last 3 years. We won a Super Bowl with. We've been to an AFC championship with, whatever it may be, right? And now y'all complaining about we got to get this stuff right. We are not making plays, point blank, period. So for me, I don't care if it's the star that called a meeting, the backup called a meeting, the trainer called a meeting. Whoever called a meeting, they ain't seeing nothing right, right? And when you talk about a players-only meeting, it don't matter who it is because it's different voices in that locker room. Just because you got Brady on the back of your name, that don't just mean you're a super leader.
Right, that's true.
You know what I'm saying? So for me, for Latavius to call this meeting, I respect him because whether I'm playing a lot or not, I'm seeing what's going on. I'm seeing what's going on ain't turning into wins. So all y'all need to drop your pride at the door. Whatever Latavius wanted that team meeting to be about, we got to get this stuff turned around.
Let me ask you.
I don't mind who called the
meeting. Let me ask you one more question because what you said about just who's calling the meeting and if on the Chiefs. So knowing who I am, right, how I am, not who I am, but how I am, if Patrick Mahomes makes the wrong read on an RPO. If Travis Kelce misses a certain block, right, do you think I'm going to speak up about that?
I think you would have.
Okay.
Yeah, I think you would have.
So if you know I would do that, then why wouldn't a player, because I wasn't playing that much, right? Now, at the time, I was starting, but let's say when I wasn't starting. Let's say I was a backup. Mm-hmm. Do you think I still would have said something?
No.
Why?
Because it doesn't imminently impact you. The you that I knew in Philly.
Okay.
Well, you know, that's all. I don't know. You could have.
So that's why when we talk about the years invested. Right now, he's trying to win. Look, Latavius Murray's trying to win right now.
No doubt.
I don't think he's trying to win a rushing title. He's trying to win. So at that time, I was trying to win.
Yeah.
So if I see that something's right, now maybe that's probably my issue with you know, something's going on. But if I see something wrong, the same way he did, I'm going to speak up about it. Like, yo, what's going on? If I see you, head of this show, doing something that ain't supposed to be right, what you think I'm going to do? Just let you just do it? No, I'm gonna speak up. But all I say out to say, because I'm not into that, I say out to say, it was like, we can't be a real team. We can't have a real bond if you don't hold me accountable.
Yes.
I don't care what the roles are.
Here's my thought process. It's not so much about you holding me accountable. It's more so about, do you know what accountability within this building looks like? Mm-hmm. James brought up a great point. I wrote it down when you were telling your story, James, about a backup calling a players-only meeting. Mm-hmm. It may have been hyperbole when you were saying, you may have been facetious, but you said, hey, the backup, you were speaking as him, said, hey, I've been here for a couple years now. If Latavius Murray had been a part of the Bills roster for multiple years, I got no issue.
Yeah.
To me, it's not that Latavius Murray's a backup. To me, it's that Latavius Murray showed up on May 1st.
Okay.
You don't know this offense. So how are you going to say that this offense looks bad? Because you don't know what this offense
looks
like.
But we don't know.
He ain't watching tape?
No.
He ain't watching tape? He ain't in the office? When the coach is breaking things down, he not in there?
We don't have no idea what the dynamic of their locker room is. For all we know, he could be the most beloved beloved player in that locker room. He could be the one that can talk to every single person and get along with everybody. He could be the bridge, for all we know, between Josh Allen and Diggs when they're getting into it. We don't know what his role is there, but he is a vet. We do know that he has many, many years in this league. So if he's comfortable calling that meeting, and clearly they respect him, or they wouldn't have gone to the meeting.
You still, I don't agree with that, though.
Yeah. Why?
Because if somebody called a meeting, you're going to the meeting.
If some random person who I don't have respect what they have to say about what I do for a living is like, yeah, I want to call a meeting together. I'd be like, okay, I'm busy. Yeah. But whatever it is, you could put it in an email for me, regardless of how things are going. So, no, I'm not going to a meeting just because somebody asks me to. I'm going because I respect what they have to say. But whoever called the meeting, regardless, they're already telling us. Josh is already telling us this isn't good enough. The Bills are already telling us this isn't good enough. None of these meetings happen if you guys are rolling. If you just ripped off five straight, why are you having a players-only meeting?
And this is not... I've never been a part of a team meeting that's about X's and O's. I've been a part of team meetings that's a part of attitude.
Attitude, yep.
Complaining and all. You know what I'm saying? That's why these teams meeting happens. Like, bro, it's too much. Y'all group over here talking about what coach ain't doing, talking about what offense ain't doing. It's too much of that. Attitudes and all that. I see that on the play. Some of the greatest teams that I've been on, the leaders have been backups.
That's true.
The leaders ain't had the big names on the back of their jerseys. They well respected in the locker room still, whether they made 15 touchdowns, whether they made two, right? So for me, for Latavius to call this meeting,
I got one for
Latavius to call this meeting, that's a dude like, bruh, the mojo ain't right on this team. Right? The effort ain't right on this team. It's all like, it ain't, I'm coming up in here, Dorsey need to do this and call this and do that, right? But hey, we ain't even practicing the right way no more. It's a lot of stuff that goes into these team meetings, and I don't care who calls it.
So when he said it, you made that face like, because you care who's saying it, who's calling the meeting,
correct?
Right. So. With the Patriots, a lot of my teammates that I played with from the Patriots when they were running things, that was Brady. But as far as who was the vocal, we always see videos of Tom Brady talking all that. I don't even watch special teams like that.
Probably Matthew Slater.
Slater. Now check it out. Personally, I don't really deal with the special team stuff.
It's like that.
Okay, but what I'm saying is most players, right, ain't really trying to hear what the special team dudes got to say.
True that.
The reason why they want to hear what he got to say, because they respect him.
Sure.
Years he's invested in the league, mm-hmm. and the hard work and all that. So if he calls a players-only meeting, they're going to show up. And he's a special team guy.
Here's the difference. And I will take ownership because I'm not doing a good enough job communicating this message. Obviously, I know Matthew Slater. I played special teams. Matthew Slater is also, I believe, Andy, one of the 10 most longest tenured Patriots in the history of the New Orleans organization. I have no issue with being a backup. No issue. My issue is with how long have you been there? Now, your experience, more years than me, yours, more years than me, different experience. That is where my issue lies. So, James Jones, you've been a part of this show, thankfully, I think for 4 months now.
Right.
I personally don't see you being like, hey, we all need to talk. I don't see it. Yeah. I don't see you being like, hey. You know what I mean? Joy, I know you've been at Fox for 7 years. Shady, you've been here for two. Ot, you've been here for four. I just got here, but we need to talk because what y'all doing ain't right. I'd be like,
We all respect James, though. James, this isn't James' first television show.
Of course.
Wait, let's say we had an issue on this show, right? And James, he said 4 months, he was here 4 months, whatever. Okay. And he spoke about it. You would be like.
I'd respect it. I would just be like, you're calling a... I'd be surprised.
But maybe all of us are bickering and we don't see it.
Right. That's what I'm about to say. Because maybe he sees something we don't see.
Crazy. Joy in my ear over here. Shady in my ear over here.
Let's personalize this. Would you feel comfortable? Like, as somebody who... You've done TV... Yeah. I mean, you're older than me. You've done TV longer than me, I believe. Would you feel comfortable as somebody who's only been here for 4 months, a part of a ship that's already moving, that's sailing? Would you even feel comfortable?
But their ship isn't sailing. Ship is sinking and then rising again. Yeah. But we're sailing.
Yeah. Yeah, they ship like the Titanic.
I would feel comfortable if I felt like it was that bad just because the relationships I feel like I have with y'all. Like, hold on, man. Like, this show finna go under if I feel like I don't say nothing, if it was that bad. You know what I'm saying? So, for Latavius to not be a lead... So, really quick, I want to go back to the point, because you said he wasn't there. He ain't there long enough to say something.
In my opinion.
So what if his name was bigger on the back of his jersey and he just got there for 5 months? That's all. That's good.
That's no matter you.
That would carry more weight. If he was like Shady, if he had, you know, if he was a future Hall of Famer, that would, to me, carry more weight.
But what does he know, though? He just got there. He don't really know the offense. He don't really know the defense.
So here's my thought process. I don't even know of Latavius Murray knowing the way. Now, again, no shade. He's played for 11 years. 11 years is a long time. If Shady steps in, he won a Super Bowl. So you know what? He's been where the Bills haven't been. So if Shady says something...
But we don't know what they're discussing. Like, it's not necessarily that he's going in there and saying, hey, this is how you win a Super Bowl. Maybe he's just like, this is so... And we don't know what's going on in the Bills locker room. But maybe he's just saying, this is so toxic and no one is going to take the initiative to call this, mm-hmm. so I'm going to do it because I have been in the league for 11 years. I have been in good locker rooms. I've been in bad locker rooms. I've seen how good leaders lead. I've been around guys that have won championships. I've talked to players who are the greatest of all time. So I have all these experiences.
Let me ask you a question, Joy. What if this is my thing, though, right? And we keep making it about his X's and O's or how long he's been there. What if it's like I'm watching tape after a game mm-hmm. and I don't see hustle? Right, I see guys pouting at the bad plays. I see this, I see that. And I'm speaking about it. You don't need to be there for eternity to know that, right? And what if it's, I don't see players checking other dudes when they messing up. Not mess up, but not having enough effort, not hustling. Some things that you don't need talent to do, you're not doing. So if I'm a player that's been around for a game for a long time on good or terrible teams, mm-hmm. and I see it, and I speak on it. What's the problem with that? If we say that we are a team and we it's a brotherhood, what's the issue with that?
Let me say this.
No, I want to hear him answer that question.
The only issue for me, I think more times in life, people care more about the messenger than the message. Mm-hmm. So if I deliver something to Joy, but Joy doesn't want to hear it, but somebody else tells it to her, Acho may have said the same thing. Mm-hmm. But if you don't like Acho, I don't want to hear it.
But clearly they do like the messenger because they all went.
But in my experience, I can't knock yours, but in my experience, if somebody calls a team meet, a players only meeting, you're going.
Stephon Diggs, if he don't respect, he ain't going.
I don't get it. That's why I said
Antonio Brown, if he don't like the match, he ain't going.
Let me say this.
If I got a dude that I don't respect, I ain't going.
Let me say this real quick. Because I played with Latavius when Latavius was a young player. Yep. Right? With the Raiders when we was 0-10.
Man, y'all need player meetings.
And we had a couple. You know what I'm saying? But at the same time, dude was never shy to voice his opinion.
I like that.
You know what I'm saying? Like, even as a young player, he was never shy. I don't care if Justin Tuck there, Charles Woodson there, Maurice Jones-Drew there, James, I don't care who. He was Derek Carr. He was never shy to voice his opinion. You know what I'm saying? If the offense wasn't going the right way, he'd stand up in the offense and be like, bro, we got to get this thing right. You know what I'm saying? It start with me. I run through whatever I got to run through. But he was never shy about speaking up. You know, so I don't see him just because he just got to Buffalo and seeing what's going on over there and knowing how it's supposed to look and knowing how it's not supposed to look, where he's been through with his career, like, nah, this ain't it. And I can see him stepping up, calling the team meeting, and I'm not surprised by it at all because that's the dude he is. And at the end of the day, when you've been in the league that long, backup or not, these dudes respect you. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, and they respect mm-hmm. the work that you put in the National Football League, no matter what the last name is on the back of your jersey. And at the end of the day, I think all them boys walked in the meeting because they knew that it was something that they had to get ironed out. And they knew it was something that, man, I was thinking about calling the meeting but never said nothing. You know what I mean? And Latavius was the one to call that meeting. So the only bonus out of this meeting is to get a W.
Hey, wait. With the Bills, we had Derek Anderson.
The backup quarterback.
No disrespect. He wasn't that good of a player.
Yeah.
Am I tripping? Mm. But I remember when he would have and he would be vocal about different things that we weren't doing as a backup. And at the time, I was that guy, right? But I respect him enough because his time in the league and the preparation he does with the team. I'm like, yo, we a team. Yo, Derek's right. Even though Derek ain't throwing no touchdowns, and he ain't nobody that we gonna follow as a player because he wasn't that good like that. But as a leader and as a brother, the things he's saying, he's right, and we need to do better at it. So you don't got to be the superstar to be vocal. And to your point, he wasn't there in the beginning of camp. He wasn't there in the first two games. He came like fifth week. You know what I mean? So he didn't know everything that we knew. But it was a part about us being a brother and respecting. Like, I respect what he's saying because he's right. The way we practice and the way we play in the game, this ain't Buffalo football. So that's why I had an issue with you saying because when we were brotherhood, right, obviously there's some stars and all that, but it's about leadership. It's about respect. And if I respect you enough, you might not be as good as me, right? But I would respect what you're saying because, yo, you're right. We need this type of voice. A lot of great players won't speak up. This means us quiet.
And not only that, you spoke on this show. And I think ratings is up, right? But if ratings was
ratings all the, is up right
okay,
now.
Okay, so that's good. That means we're doing something, right?
Say it is.
But if ratings was all the way down, right, and we was the worst show on Fox, and we out of the playoffs and all that type
he's
stuff,
tripping.
And I hear all the commotion, I would say something. Acho, hey, man, you need to clean
I hope you.
Up.
I hope you do. Please, that's real. Because if you don't, I'm going to look at you differently.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. You better say something. What? You come to the Mean Shady?
I'm coming.
Hey, you're going to be late, though. I'll tell you that much. You're going to be late.
Late, but I'm coming.
All right, family, when we return, Niners have the biggest game this weekend coming up. It is versus the Jags. But get this. The Niners have lost three straight after looking like the best team in football. Who needs to show up more? The offense, which has been struggling, or the defense, which has made drastic changes. That's next on Speak. James calling the meeting.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now, you can save $20 on the Steel MS-162 or MS-170 chainsaw. Real Steel. Offer valid through June 30th, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
All right, family, we're on third and long, third topic of the day, and this might be the best one, the Niners. They've lost three straight, but it doesn't get any easier. After losing to the Bengals before the bye week, everybody looked how Fred Warner looks right there because they had lost three in a row, and now they got the Jags. Jags are the hottest team in football. They have won five straight. Count them up. Five straight. Defense giving up 24 points per game over that stretch. Shady, here is my favorite question of the day. Offense for the Niners, they've been struggling. Defense for the Niners, they've been struggling. Mm-hmm. Who needs to rebound more, Big Dog? Is it the offense or the defense?
It's got to be the defense, right? When you think of the 49ers, who are they? Who are they? They a defensive team first. I always say this. Who made the 49ers? It wasn't Brock Purdy, right? He helped out when he's playing well. Christian McCaffrey, he helped out. He's a baller. Kittle, he helps out. He's a baller. Trent Williams is probably a little more than all that. But it's the defense that makes the 49ers. Even before they had Chris McCaffrey, even before they had Trent Williams, they were still winning games, right? And what happened was they were going to the playoffs with that type of defense. You're not scoring on the defense. You're not scoring on us. No. You're not going up and down the field, running the ball, throwing. You're not doing that. If you look at the last couple times that these guys has played, I'll even take the Bengals game, right? Because that was a big game for me because they at the time, they both was kind of struggling, right? And the Bengals were trying to get back into the flow of things. Right now, they're rolling, but they were trying to get back into it. And I watched them boys go up and down the field. Mm-hmm. I don't care who it is. You don't do that against the 49ers defense. We keep talking about how the defense coordinator, Wilkes, how is he coming down from the booth to the field, or is he going back up? What is he doing? Mm-hmm. Why are we doing all that? Why are we trying to figure that out? Because the defense is so big to them. If Brock Purdy doesn't have a good game, right, for the future, he'll still be around. Mm-hmm. Wilkes is going to get fired. So it's now for the defense. When you look at all the names on that defense, the roster they got, oh, my God. It's an MVP type of team on defense. Mm-hmm. And then you add Chase Young, so it's got to be the defense. If they don't play well, the Niners will have no shot to win this game.
So me.
Hoodie James. It's Hoodie James. It's Hoodie Friday.
What does Kyle Shanahan coach?
Offense. Offense.
As a head coach, Acho, tell me again, remind me again of what you say. Huh?
You got to handle your side.
Side of the ball first. You offense, right? Mm-hmm. All right, this offense been garbage the last 3 weeks. Maybe you should talk about going in the booth or being on the field or something like that, because y'all been garbage, too, on that side of the ball. The quarterback that you chose, you traded away Trey Lance for this quarterback right here, 6 turnovers in the last 3 weeks. You are calling the plays for this young fella. You have George Kittle out there. You have Christian McCaffrey out there. You have Brandon Ayuk out there. Do something. For me, this ain't all on the defense. When they were winning games, yeah, the defense was playing well, but he wasn't putting them in bad situations neither. He was taking care of the football. So for me to bounce back, Kyle Shanahan, you this offensive guru, we put you up here on this pedestal of calling plays and doing that and changing any quarterback in the world to being a really good quarterback. Well, the last 3 weeks, your offense has been garbage. It's time for the offense to step up and everybody not to blame this all on the defense 24-7 and the offense to get out there and start taking care of the football again and scoring and moving the ball down the football field. So I need to see this offense bounce back. 6 turnovers in the last, 6 interceptions in the last 3 weeks. Come on, man. That's offense.
They're not going to like that, James.
Good.
They're not going to like it.
You know, and I was an offensive player, man. But come on, man. They ain't blaming on Steve Wilkes and the defense 24-7, Joy. You want me to keep going?
I'm just saying, they're not going to like it. I mean, my first line is the defense because Kyle Shanahan has never held responsible for anything.
No, that's the problem.
I mean, it's Steve Wilkes' fault now, right? Like, it's the defense. If you are an offensive coach that, like James said, we put into the top upper echelon of the league, where he should be because he is a great offensive mind, wouldn't you build the team around offense? Because if, like similarly, when we have defensive head coaches, you go through offensive coordinators. You have turnover at that position because they're not the head coach. So they're going to go move on. If they have success, they'll move on to other places. Well, you're going through defensive coordinators, but you're the head guy and you built the team on defense. So it's a bit confusing for me why it would then be the defense's fault if you are the offensive guy that we put in the top of the league. I think it's on the defense as well because it's too late now. This is the choice that you made. This is how you built the team, brick by brick, right? This is how you build a team. You have a wall of an offense. You get to the quarterback. You get great field position. You put the quarterback that we don't think is a bona fide franchise quarterback in bad positions, and then you're able to win games. That's the formula. So whether it whose fault and what and how you built the team, the construction, it's too late now. I think Brock Purdy is struggling because he's a young quarterback and everything isn't perfect for him.
His second year, yes.
He's not playing. Okay, but that was Kyle Shanahan's choice.
But I'm saying, but they built their team on defense.
They did. But it's always the same thing, Shady. It's always that you have Jimmy Garoppolo or you have Brock Purdy or you take this massive, unbelievable swing to get Trey Lance. And it's like, we don't need. But you're an offensive guy. So if your defense struggles at all, can you pick it up? Like, can we do anything? Now all of a sudden it's just because the defense isn't doing well that you're throwing interceptions?
That's how they were built. That's how they were built. Even when they were at the Niners at their best, they were built through defense. That's why we joke about it, about having any quarterback there because the defense is that good. For example, when y'all were number one seed and you and A-Rod, y'all was doing y'all thing, when they beat up on y'all in Lambeau Field, right? Was it the offense? They ran the ball, but what'd they do? They stopped y'all. Huh?
I don't remember.
No, I'm being serious. Yeah. It's Friday, so that's why I'm, like, real passionate. But the thing is, why they beat on y'all like that? Because y'all couldn't do nothing on offense. They stopped y'all. You're not running the ball. You're not throwing the ball. Nothing you can do. That's what the Niners been. So at the way you're speaking about it, I get what you're saying, but the way that the Niners was built
the last
couple of years was all defense. So why wouldn't we make the defense at fault now? We going to blame it on a second-year, last pick in the draft quarterback?
No, I'm blaming it on Kyle Shanahan.
Because he had some solid games. Mm. It's the truth.
Can you tell me what they
because
want?
Because the best friend of a young quarterback is either running game or what else?
Can you tell me what
or
they
what else?
Can you tell me what they won with that good defense?
They got to an interception.
They got there, they ain't won nothing. Hold on.
And I'm going to say it again, and you should know better than this. It's hard as hell to win championships.
No question.
But only thing you can do as a player, as a team, is get the chance to get there.
I know, but we
so they getting there.
But we keep on talking about this defense. Like, every time we talk about the Niners to win a Super Bowl, all we talk about is quarterback. Bro. And they found one. Ain't that what it is? Jimmy G was holding him back. Jimmy G can't make these throws. Yo. You know what? Cal found one. And we still blaming it on the defense, and he turning the football over, Shady.
Out of 32 teams, maybe three of them teams, other than the main guys, would love to be the Niners. They have a chance to get to the Super Bowl.
I'm with that.
Right, so can
just
we
just the Chiefs?
Can we stop acting like that don't count? I hate we act like that don't count.
It does count.
That's hard as hell to get there.
2-5. Here's my thought.
What's your thought?
Here's my thought.
I need some water. it's Friday.
The reason to me it's the defense is because the defense has no excuse for this bad play.
Ooh,
Jalen Hurts' worst game in his last 2.5 years was against the Jets.
Yeah.
And if y'all recall that game versus the Jets, well, what happened? Lane Johnson was hurt, and Jalen Hurts threw 3 interceptions for the first time since 2021, if I'm not mistaken. Patrick Mahomes is likely going to be the greatest or second greatest quarterback to ever play this game. But when he played the Tampa Bay Buccaneers when Shady won his second Super Bowl, what happened?
Eric Fisher was out,
starting left tackle who got hurt in the AFC Championship game versus the Buffalo Bills. Patrick Mahomes looked pedestrian, and we're talking about Patrick Mahomes. The reason the defense has to show up more than the offense for me is Trent Williams. I believe him to be the second best tackle of the generation behind Joe Thomas. Trent Williams is out.
Whoa.
So, Joe
was a bad boy.
Joe ain't Trent. I'm sorry.
I'm not even going to get distracted by that. I mean, Joe Thomas obviously is a first ballot Hall of Famer, so he may not be Trent Williams, but obviously he's good. He's not a bad
player. We got you.
So with that being said, if Trent is out And we saw what Jalen Hurts looked like without Lane Johnson. We saw what Patrick Mahomes looked like without Eric Fisher. Then I expect Brock Purdy to look bad. However, James, where I am at is Nick Bosa's not out. Hufanga's not out. Fred Warner's not out.
Either.
Ward, Lenore, Gibson, they're not out. Greenlaw be hurt sometimes, but Greenlaw not out. Hargraves not out. Armstead this year, he's not out. And they just added Chase Young. So when I look at it, the defense has no excuse. So I need them to have a big game because they have no excuse for their bad games. The offense, you don't have Trent Williams. If you don't have Trent Williams, I would hope the quarterback is
in. And you don't have a second-year starter either, though. Them boys is all grown.
So then when do we stop taking them seriously as a contending team?
If Trent was out for the year, I would be like, hey, Niners, y'all are done for the year. If Trent was out, like, if your starting left tackle was – now, he did return to practice yesterday. I believe he's questionable. But, like, if Trent were to be – if Lane Johnson were gone, I'm telling you right now, I'm taking all my money off the Eagles.
Yeah.
If Lane was out
– Our record's real bad without Lane.
Without Lane, the record is average is grits. So if Lane is gone, I'm taking all the money off the Eagles. No. So Trent is that important to the Niners' offensive success. So that's why I care more about the defense.
So we sitting here saying if Lane Johnson is gone and Jalen Hurts has six – interceptions. We're going to say it's the defense. We ain't going to say that Jalen Hurts playing bad.
We ain't
going to say this offense. That's all I'm saying. Like, they losing because both sides ain't playing well.
Of course.
But everybody just going straight at the defense. This boy is throwing picks. These defenses on short fields in the Minnesota game. All out blitz. Forget it. End of the game, we stopped these boys twice, gave you the ball twice, and you threw two interceptions.
Wouldn't you say, though, like, hey, defense, I need you to carry me?
But didn't that happen, though?
They've been carrying them. But the way you just said that is a great point. The Niners, since I've been knowing them, right, even when Frank Gordon was popping back in the day.
2013,
it was defense, right? I'll break it down like this, and I'm done with it. Every team we could talk about, I could sit here and tell you right now, if you ask me, what are they built on, right? What's the team's strength? What does the coach prioritize in that franchise? The Niners, it's the defense. Even though you got to couch him as an offense, it's a defensive team. They set the stage for the team.
No question.
Right? The Chiefs. It's so crazy right now that Chiefs are so good on defense, right? Everybody keeps talking about because they've never seen it before.
Yeah.
And the thing is, right, in the past, other than this year, in the past, the Chiefs thing is this. We got to go out here, we got to outscore everybody.
Right.
Why is that? Because the way we're built. We're building this team on offense, skill positions, and we're going to have a couple of good players on defense. Honey Badger here and there, Chris Jones that make plays here and there. Not to be a great defense. So now it's the same thing with the nine. Why you push back on that?
I agree with everything you're saying, actually. I'm just saying that maybe shouldn't we just give, like, more credit to Robert Saleh and D'Amico Ryans? And
we did, though.
No, more. Like, if this team is built on defense and they look like this when the defense is bad, I feel like the defensive coordinators are kind of carrying this team. Like, which is it? We don't talk about the defense. We talk about Kyle Shanahan.
I talk about
which is it? Is this defense, a team that's
like, hold on. Even in the first five games, right, when they were playing good defense.
Yeah.
Like
and good
offense. We weren't talking about Steve Wilkes.
Man.
Playing good offense, too.
We didn't hear Steve Wilkes' name until something bad happened.
True, but we talked about the defense.
Okay.
We didn't talk about Wilkes, but we talked about the defense.
When last year playoffs, right, because we love and respect playoffs here. Cool. I'm cool with that. When they played the Cowboys, right? We wasn't up in and going crazy over the Niners' offense, were we? In a big moment?
They didn't do nothing crazy.
We were really just talking about that.
But the real reason was the defense. Mm-hmm. We stopping the run. We playing good defense in the pass, and we getting turnovers. And hold up, and we getting great field position for our young quarterback.
I agree with all that.
Hold up, that's all. They've been like that for years.
I agree with that.
I totally agree.
Let's start talking about this team.
We're not doing that. DeSean Jackson, you have a couple of good plays. You're not going to go crazy. We got to have smart football. Don't turn the ball over because that defense is real. They want to get field position for their young quarterback. That's how they win games. That's how they've been winning.
And all that is good.
And Kyle Shanahan, hold on, last thing. And Kyle Shanahan, why he gets a lot of respect, because he's been a good coordinator everywhere he's been
at.
Y'all just talking about the Niners. Yep. When Kyle Shanahan, every team he's been on, he's been a hell of a coordinator.
He's very talented.
All right,
he's not the best coach in his division.
But what I'm saying is, if we talking about Kyle Shanahan, we saying as far as an offense of guru mind, because everywhere he's been at, we're talking about the 49ers.
Okay, so
if you talk about the 49ers, the big thing about them is their defense.
I agree with you.
And all that's good. Built on, they are built on the defense, and you're just going to keep coming up short. Because the offense ain't going to come up and make no plays for you when they have to make the play.
Because
that's how it is.
So
keep on coming up short.
Same thing with them.
If you keep coming up short,
they went all offense.
Hey, I won one, though. Catch that air, won none. So if you keep coming up short,
a couple defensive players,
you're going to get fired.
What's
this
with all the hair?
Clay Matthews.
Clay Matthews had the big guy dude in the middle. What's the with the...
Show me what you got.
No, no, no. He's doing this.
DJ Raji.
It's Charles Woodson.
C. Wood.
And all offense.
Yep.
That's how they was built.
That's
so
it.
So when I say the same thing about the Niners, why you get your face
no,
off?
No, because at one point,
we agree.
Hold on.
We say
I agree the way
thing.
They are built,
we
but at one point,
thing.
No,
I'm
at one point you gotta help.
Listen,
yeah,
listen.
I'm not even saying that. I agree.
On a Friday, I am cooking.
I agree.
I'm gonna go to break.
I agree.
At one point, you gotta help.
I'm just saying.
I'm your homies.
This is D'Amico Ryan's team. This is Steve Wilkes' team. This is Robert Saleh's team.
He yelling. He think he's crying by yelling. Built on defense and they done came up short every single year because what? And what do we say?
Man.
Oh, the quarterback got to make a throw.
Man.
Well, he's making throws right now and it's interception.
So
stay built like
boy.
That.
I have to go.
I don't know. Corey
Bacon Jones over there.
I don't think that's how that went.
When we return, it is time for Friday Flowers. It's just the best segment of the week.
Can I get my flower for that last segment?
You should.
No.
Pork
Why?
Bacon, turkey
yelling.
Sausage. What you gonna make? Orange juice? Let's get it. Syrup, make me syrup.
Orange juice. I feel like this is more,
Hey, folks, it's your man, Keyshawn Johnson, here to talk about Angie, formerly known as Angie's List, your go-to home services. Marketplace for getting all your jobs done well. Now, you might be wondering, what exactly is Angie? Well, let me tell you. It's the nation's largest home services marketplace, connecting over 150 million homeowners with skilled professionals to tackle any project, big or small. As a homeowner myself, I always have things I want to work on for my house, whether it's general home renovations or fun projects like putting in a pool. With over 200,000 pros in their network, Angie makes it a breeze to research, compare, and hire pros, ensuring every job is done well. Whether you're fixing a leaky faucet or planning a full kitchen renovation, Angie's got your back. And get this, folks. Angie's pros aren't just any old contractors. They're your neighbors, often running small businesses right in your community. Plus, they've been rated and reviewed by others in your area. So you know you're getting quality service. So why stress over home projects when you can turn to Angie? From finding the best price to scheduling a pro at your convenience, Angie's got you covered every step of the way. So get started today at Angie.com. That's Angie.com or download the app today to get started on getting all your jobs done. That's Angie, your trusted ally in home services.
What is up, family? Welcome back to Speak. It is time for Joy Taylor to highlight some of the best stories around the sports world that you may not have heard of. Joy, who deserves the flowers on this Friday?
Well, before we get to the accomplishments on the field of play, I want to honor those who serve our country. Happy Veterans Day. I come from a huge military family with veterans from the Army, Air Force, Marines, my grandfathers, uncles, sister, cousins. A special shout out to two of my cousins who currently serve in the Army and Marines. So thank you to all the veterans for your sacrifice and your service. We celebrate you today, so flowers for you. I've been so excited all week to give this man some flowers. Josh Dobbs, he stepped in for the Vikings on Sunday after just 5 days with the team. He was with the Browns all preseason before the Cardinals traded for him before week one. After starting all season, Arizona traded him to Minnesota. He's backing up Jaren Hall. Hall was injured in the first quarter, so Dobbs stepped in. Three total touchdowns later, he led the Vikings to the win in Atlanta. He's the first player in NFL history to score three-plus touchdowns in back-to-back weeks for two different teams. Unbelievable watch. Congrats to him. Flowers to Dobbs. Finally, C.J. Stroud is on a roll, and he's just getting started. On Sunday, the Texans scored his second overall pick through five touchdowns, 470 yards, which were both NFL rookie records. An unbelievable game, my favorite game of the weekend. An impressive comeback win over the Bucs. Stroud had the ball in his hands with 16 seconds left, 41 yards to go. Found Tank Dell on two beautiful throws to set up and score the game-winning touchdown. A hell of a way to finish off a record-setting day for the rookie standout. Texans fans think they have their guy, and we hope to see a lot more of that type of play from Stroud this season. So flowers to C.J. Stroud. And finally, on this Friday, I'm going to give a few flowers to our guy, Emmanuel Acho.
Acho.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday.
I'm catching up, James. I'm getting up there.
You are, man. You're getting up there.
What's up, yeah?
Love Acho.
I didn't get no flowers.
You know what I'm saying?
He swears he was yelling about something. Happy birthday.
Thank you, family. When we return, we have to talk about Caleb Williams because he responded to the critics of him crying in the stands last week. Remember, after last week's loss to Washington, he went into his mom's embrace and started crying. That was one of the most polarizing topics in the sports world this past week. He responded. We'll respond next on Speak.
And his mom was clever, though, to cover his face while he's crying.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of steel tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now, save $30 on the American-made steel FS56 RCE trimmer. Real steel. The FS56 RCE is made in America of U.S. and global materials. Offer valid through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Hey, we are in overtime, family. Caleb Williams, he made headlines last week. They lost to Washington at home, whole world watching, and he jumped into his mother's arms and began to weep vigorously. Well, a lot of people have some things to say about that. Caleb Williams, he responded. Take a listen.
I go out every single day and, you know, blood, sweat, and tears. I give my all in every single play, every chance that I get. So, you know, been an advocate for mental health and, you know, trying to show your emotions and express yourself and things like that. I mean, it's something that I've been doing since I was young. And then now actually, you know, being on the, you know, the national level, being able to, you know, try and share that awareness with the public.
This is a topic that transcends the sports world. These are my favorite topics, topics that exist in sports, but really they matter to you. I loved Caleb Williams' response, but I also love Caleb Williams' tears in the moment. It's Caleb Williams showing that he is willing to express himself in a healthy manner. That's why I loved it. Full transparency, I started this day weeping myself. New year, new birthday, all the things. I started the day shedding tears of myself because I was like, you know what? There is gratitude, and this is my emotional response to it. I like Caleb Williams and his response in that moment. Also, we know that Caleb Williams is an advocate for mental health, this very sensitive topic in this time, so I won't derail the conversation going there. But Shady, I'm simply going to focus on loving the response, loving Caleb Williams, the tears in the moment, but most importantly for me, it was after having that moment with his mom in the stands, he collected himself, got back together, ran into the locker room in front of his teammates, and then he was once again composed. Have the moment you need to have for your own health, and it seems like Caleb Williams, that's what he did. That's why I loved it.
You cried today?
All day. Every birthday. All day? Every birthday since 30, I start the day crying.
Oh, okay. Cool. That's what you're doing. Can we go out? No, we're gonna go out. Anyway.
We could cry some joys to tears in the club too. Anyway. Actually, it's funny that I support Caleb Williams when him crying. And I actually seen him last week or
yeah,
a couple days ago, whatever. And I said, hey man, don't let them people make you feel different or not right because you wanna cry, right? Let your emotions show. He smiled. He said, "Yeah, that's what I did." So I like that he's aware of it's okay to be himself. See, the reason why I loved it because somebody out there, hopefully the Bears, if they're smart, they go out there and they try to get a guy like Caleb Williams to change their franchise. And then for all the reasons of him being a great player, great star, great generational talent, but another part is caring about the game. When you cry and you show your emotions, I don't care if it's in the locker room like James wants it to be, or if it's in the stadium with your mom or your pops. I like to see it because he shows his emotion that I really care. I put a lot of effort and hard work every day in practice to try to win these games. I'm on a losing streak. So I'm frustrated and I'm upset and I'm crying. I love to see that because he shows you that he really cares about the game.
James, where are you at on this topic?
It's Joy's turn. I had a Joy. Joy was...
Okay. Joy. No, I mean, I had no problem with him crying. I don't think crying is any different than being happy, is any different than being mad, is any different than grief or any other temporary emotion that humans experience and then it passes through. And it's why you shouldn't, you know, hopefully make permanent decisions based off of temporary emotions. We say that all the time because that's what people do when they're emotional. They want to make a decision and that can affect your future. It's not that serious. He cares about the game. They were losing. It's going to affect his legacy in college football, which he cares about. It's not all under his control whether or not they win these games. And he's upset. My opinion is I like seeing people emote. I would rather you care that you're losing than not care.
Right.
What's way more irritating to me is seeing somebody just stone-faced, not reacting, or worse, laughing in a situation that requires some seriousness. I like to have fun. I have fun, right? But like, I'm like with the ha-ha kiki when we're trying to do something serious here. Right. Relax, do that another time. So I have no problem with what he did. It didn't bother me that he was crying because I think we have a toxic relationship with crying as a society to begin with. And I say that as somebody who refuses to cry in front of other people, so.
Yeah, I don't have no problem with the crying. I don't.
Free yourself, brother.
Acho cried this morning. I'm just going to keep it a buck with you. If you started the show, what up, Speak Family, and started crying, I said, this boy doing this for everybody watching. Look at him, he could cry in the locker room. Mm-hmm. That's just what I would have said, right? I don't care if you, this is a passionate game we play. We work extremely hard to play this game. We are trying to win, all right? He's lost 3 times, and he's been caught crying 3 times, right? So, you know, for me,
be looking at me like that. Crazy.
What's wrong, Shady?
So, oh, no, what's up?
You looking at me crazy.
So, for me, crying is cool.
It's the way
you
it's
do
the
it.
Right here.
We've never seen somebody jump up in the stands and cry. I've cried on the football. I cried when I lost. I cried when I won the Super Bowl. Tears came down, right? I'd have been in situations with my teammates where we lost some tough game. I see one of my teammates where you embrace whatever, tears come down. For me, I just felt like, man, it was attention-seeking behavior jumping in the stands. I felt like if you see one of your brothers on the field after a tough loss, y'all done battled y'all tails out, y'all start crying, that's sports. That's football. But for me, jumping up in the stands, that was a little different. And it's after quickly. Every game.
Quickly. Obviously, I got to go to break.
Stop
after
this. Looking at
Let me
like
ask you this quickly.
Shady.
If he jumped in the stands to celebrate with his family, same issue. Say they win, and he jumps in the stands to celebrate with his mom and dad. Do you have the same issue?
Well, see, I would rather you celebrate with your teammates.
Fair. What if he did both? Celebrate his teammates on the field, then he sees his mom and he jumped there.
That's something different.
Okay.
Like I think if I seen you coming off the field and you embrace it with your teammate and you crying or whatever, and then your mom, you see your mom, that's different. I feel like that's like, okay, that's authentic. Running and sprinting to the bleachers to cry with him.
So the issue is not the tears. The issue is when and where the tears are coming.
Like, I know what I want.
But I mean, it's tears after every game.
Yeah,
I understand. We all emotional.
I know what I won't do.
Not crying around James.
I won't cry around him.
I'm with the crying.
No, I'm good.
I'm not crying.
Well, when we return,
bad news. If I'm crying,
matchup of the weekend in the AFC: Browns, Ravens. You got 7-2. Yeah, 5-3. It's a big-time matchup with 2 big-time quarterbacks. Deshaun Watson, Lamar Jackson. Who has more at stake? It's $500 million between those two. We got to talk about what's at stake.
Why'd you say 2 big-time quarterbacks?
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Let's get back to the NFL in our hurry-up offense. We got to keep this one moving, but this game is going to be fantastic. A AFC North matchup. This is what football is all about. It is going to be physical on defense and on offense. Two of the best defenses in football, Shady McCoy, Deshaun Watson, Lamar Jackson. Bring us on camera because we are going to be see a spotlight between two superstar quarterbacks. Deshaun Watson. Shady,
Wait. Wait, one more time. Say that again.
We're going to see a highlight between two superstar quarterbacks. Deshaun.
I thought you said that. It's only one superstar quarterback. Mm. One used to be, but I got to be honest. Mm. He's not that. Mm. So let's just say this. Let's do it all over again. Big game against one superstar quarterback and a really, really great defense from the Browns. And then you can name your quarterback, Deshaun.
But Shady, Deshaun, 4-1 as a starter this year.
Man.
The Ravens are winning games, but the Browns are 2 winning games. Then at least answer me this, 2-5. Okay, answer me this. Okay. Who has more at stake on Sunday? Deshaun Watson, Lamar Jackson?
You know what? The popular answer would be Deshaun Watson because he hasn't shown anything really yet. But I can't do that because we know who he is now. Before I was giving a great spray, I thought that he would emerge back to the player we thought he was. Them days is over with.
You don't think that's coming back?
I haven't seen anything close to it, right? I haven't. Anyway, I got to say it's Lamar Jackson. Just to stay hot, stay the hottest team in the AFC,
stay in that MVP conversation. I think everything has to do with Lamar Jackson at risk. With the team he has, the way they've been playing, the teams they've been playing, the teams they've been beating, the way they've been beating teams, they're keeping that up, keeping that momentum and that consistency.
Yeah, I agree with Shady. The correct answer is Deshaun Watson, two times. But it's going to be Lamar Jackson because Lamar is now being held to the standard of he has more to prove in this league, right? He has the unanimous MVP. He's won regular season games. What is he going to do in the postseason? A big part of that is going to be how you land in the postseason. So they need to keep this momentum and stay on this MVP run that he's on. He should be in that conversation. And, you know, this is a big-time division matchup. But the correct answer is Deshaun Watson. But
he's not.
Well, for me, it's Deshaun Watson. 230 M's guaranteed. We have not seen the Deshaun Watson of old, like you said, Shady, yet. We don't know if he's coming back. But we brought you over here thinking he was coming back to beat Lamar Jackson and Joe Burrow. Not to beat Kenny Pickett, all right? Not to beat the Arizona Cardinals. We didn't bring you back to win those games. We brought you in to compete for this division and be able to compete with JoJo Burrow and Lamar Jackson. You didn't play in the first outing, and Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens ran y'all out of y'all own stadium. This is a game right here. You got to show up. $230 million. I don't care what you got to do, but we have to start seeing the old Deshaun Watson. Are we going to be sitting up here talking about, is he the quarterback for the Cleveland Browns?
I'm saying that right now.
Period.
If you take him out and you put Baker Mayfield, it's the same. I mean.
Oh, Lord.
I'm just saying.
I mean, Deshaun hasn't played great.
Come on.
He hasn't lived up to the expectations. Yeah. Well, I promise you this. On Monday's show, we will be leading with the winner of that Niners-Jags game because it is that important. Niners, they are struggling. They've lost two, three straight. Jags are smoking. They've won five straight. Who is going to win that game and why? When we return, we're going to give you our answers for the biggest game of the weekend. That's next on Speed.
So when are you going to lose faith?
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I mentioned the Niners and Jags. James Jones, our two-minute drill as we wind down. It's a huge game. There's no way to overstate how big a game this is. So break it down. Who wins and why, big dog?
I like Duval. I like Duval in this game. They on a five-game winning streak playing really, really good football. They got confidence. They coaches ain't blaming each other for nothing. I think this team is playing at a really good pace right now. I like them. And I believe they are at the crib. Niners struggling even after the bye. I like Jacksonville.
Jacksonville's playing really, really well right now. I can't see the Niners losing four games in a row. I might be wrong, but I think they're going to come out of this by a little more focus. I think they're going to correct the things they needed to correct, and I think it's going to be a good game, though.
And if they don't, I want to know who fault it is.
We know who fault it is. We know whose fault it is.
2-5, who wins and why?
I'm going with the Niners. I think that the defense comes back to the old defense that we know, creating turnovers, getting great field positions, and the young boy Purdy just capitalizes off of that.
Yeah. I think the Niners win because I think the Niners have to win. If the Niners do not win, we have to realize what we are saying. If the Niners come off a bye week losing four straight and don't have it fixed, I don't think they will have it fixed the rest of the season. And I refuse to believe that this Niners team with this talent can't get right. From a talent perspective,
hey.
Happy birthday.
Lady, I'm not going to the club.
What club y'all going to?
No club.
Call me. Okay, don't DM me.
Happy birthday to you.